Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Ki Lala Kol podcast. God willing, the Shabbos will be reading from Parshat Tazria. Parshat Tazria deals mainly with the spiritual affliction known as Tzarad. Our Parsha discusses the discovery, the official prognosis by the Kohen that a person does in fact have Tzarad. And next week's Parsha, Parshat Mitzara, focuses on the process of healing, the process of purification from this affliction. Now the Torah describes Tzarad as potentially appearing on a person's body, their clothing, or their home. And the Gemara Masechet Arachin Daf Tetzayin Amud Aleph tells us that there are seven different potential sins that a person could have violated, which would cause a person to become afflicted with Tzarad. Most famously, of course, is that of Lashon Hara, speaking negatively about other people. But on that list is included murder, false oaths, forbidden sexual relationships, arrogance, theft, and stinginess. There's a fascinating midrash in the Vayikra Rabba, Parshat Tazria. This is in Parshat Terva, Piska Dalet, which tells us the following. Mashal, a parable. L'matrona shenichnasa l'toch paltin shel melech, a certain matron, she entered the palace of the king, and kevan dechamit miglavia talan dachalt. And she saw up on the wall, there were certain straps, there were sticks, there's certain types of weapons that were hanging. So she became very frightened. Amarla Hamelech, the king said to her, Al titiari, don't be frightened. Elu lavadim lishvachot. These aren't meant for you. You're not going to get harmed. You're not going to get hurt. These are meant for the servants and the maidservants. When they're out of line, we got to whack them so that they do what they're supposed to do. Aval at, but you, when you're here in the palace, lechov, lishtov, lismoach, you can eat, you can drink, you could be happy. Don't worry about it. Says the Midrash, kach, so too, kevan shamu Yisrael parshat negaim. When the Jewish people learned our parshat Tazria, and they learned parshat Metzora, they learned about the negaim, these different types of afflictions that could hurt a person's body, their clothing, their home, the process, everything they had to do. So nityaru, they became very frightened. So Amar lahem Moshe, Moshe said to them, Al tityaru, don't be frightened. Elulu motolam. No, all this stuff, the negaim, the affliction, the tzarat, that's not for you guys. That's for the nations of the world. Avalatem, but you guys, lechov, lishtov, lismoach, you can eat, you can drink, you can be happy. Shneamar, the pasuk tells us, this is the pasuk in Tehillim, Mizmor Lamibet, Rabim achovim lerasha. There are many different afflictions for the wicked, but the one who puts his trust and his confidence in Hashem, chesed yisov avenu, he will be surrounded by kindness. Now this midrash is fascinating for lots of different reasons, but perhaps most perplexing is that we have a Mishnah Masechet Negaim in Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph that tells us something very, very different. The Mishnah there tells us that Negaim aren't relevant to the Umot HaOlam. They have nothing to do with the nations of the world because they don't become Tameh. The Mishnah says, Hakol Mitamin, anyone can become Tameh, they can become ritually impure, Binigayim, from Tzarat, from these different types of afflictions, Chutz, Minahovdei Kochavim, Megir Toshav, except for someone who is worship some sort of pagan deity, or a Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav, remember, is a person who isn't Jewish, they live in the land of Israel, and they commit to keeping the seven Noahide laws. Okay, so basically the Mishnah tells us that Negaim, Tzarat, that affects Jewish people and only Jewish people. It does not affect the Umot HaOlam. It does not affect the nations of the world. And if you look at our Parshiot, this week's Parsha, next week's Parsha, it seems pretty clear that Negaim certainly are relevant to the Jewish people. So what on earth is the Midrash trying to teach us that no. All this stuff, that's for the nations of the world. Not for you guys. You guys, you eat, you drink, you make merry, and you'll be just fine. When we find that the exact opposite is true, that Tzarat is a problem specifically for the Jewish people, and maybe not so for the nations of the world. So Rav Alexander Zusha Friedman, in his commentary called The Avnei Ezel, he teaches us a very, very important idea which may help us understand this midrash. He notes, Shtei drachim yeshnan, kidei lavira adam lidei hakara, shekayemen hashkacha elokid al haolam. There is two different ways that we can inspire a person to recognize that there is some sort of divine providence, the divine involvement. God is involved in overseeing this world. Ulaf noted mabadei nav, and to change his perspective, utsumet libo, and to bring attention to, le'inyanim yoter na'alim upnimiim lichuva, and to inspire him to pay attention to things which are more sublime, things which are holier, that have a higher level of sanctity, and to inspire tshuva. Says Rav Alexander Zusha Friedman, there's two different ways to inspire a person to recognize that God is not only the borei, the one who created the world, but he is mashgiach, he oversees the world, and there are two different ways to inspire him to engage in tshuva. So what are those two different ways? So he says, haderech ha'achat, one way to inspire a person, he al yidei negayim yisurim ha'morim et ha'adam umaskirim lo et mitziyuto shel manhig mashgiach shel olam. One way to get a person to wake up and recognize that God runs of the world is by suffering, is by causing him to suffer, to challenge him, to give him difficulties, to give him pain, so on and so forth. And it makes him realize that, hey, maybe I am being punished for doing X, Y, or Z, and there is someone in charge here. Maybe there's someone who oversees the world who is now claiming and saying, you are responsible for your actions. And I should therefore repent before this great God, this great deity that oversees the world. That's one way to inspire a person to tshuva, is basically to beat him up. But there's another way. That we allow a person to feel some sort of encounter with that which is divine, with that which is holy, with that which is heavenly, so that they can recognize that there's more going on here. That it's not just you live your life, you go to sleep, you wake up, you do your thing, and rinse and repeat. No, there's more going on here. There's something more significant. There are more meaningful things in life. And for most people, how do you have that? What is that divine encounter with sanctity that's going to inspire you to tshuva? It says, for most people, they specifically have that inspiring moment, whether it's during a tefillah, whether it's a Dvar Torah, whether they're at a meal with family. They specifically have these inspiring encounters with Kedusha, b'Shabbatot v'yamim tovim, on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Hakorim et ha'adam aleihem, kifi sha'atara mechane otam mikra'i kodesh, she'im korim et ha'adam likarev el ha'kedusha. He says here, quoting the Chidush Harim, that we refer to the holidays as mikra'i kodesh, that there are days that we designate as holy, but he says they could also be days that are calling out to us to be holy. So many of us are inspired to become closer to Hashem, to enhance our mitzvah observance, to learn more Torah, to better focus on our tefillot, to do more chesed, because of experiences that we have on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because we have an encounter with the divine. So he says there's two different ways to inspire people. In fact, he goes on to this to develop this idea a little bit further. He notes earlier on that Muvavi Sfarim Shotiot Nega Behipuch Seder Hein Oneg Milak Shira Im Shabbat Kodesh. He says if you rearrange the letters of the word Nega, Nega refers to one of the afflictions of Tzarat, you can spell out the word Oneg. Oneg, we know, is a word associated with Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos, right? Which is based off the Pasuk, V'karatel Shabbat Oneg, right? So that you should enjoy, you should delight in the Shabbos. And you know it's Vot Yod Tzarat. You take the word Tzarat, again referring to the affliction over here. V'hipach Seder Hein Atzeret. You could rearrange those letters and you get the word Atzeret, which is a day of gathering, which is a Milah Hakshura in Yom Tov. It's a day that's associated with Yom Tov. As we say, Atzeret Tiyalachem. It should be a day of gathering. So you have these two different words referring to Tzarat, which have something to do with Shabbos, they have something to do with Yom Tov. So he concludes, Shabbat Yom Tov him eifo ha-hepach shel nega Tzarat. He says that maybe they are the opposites of Tzarat. Okay, fine. Very nice and very good. So two different ways to inspire a person to tshuva. Number one, beat him up. Or number two, give him some sort of divine encounter. Allow him to experience real Kedusha. So now he concludes and he says, it all makes sense now. Now the Midrash makes sense. He says, Umot ha'olam v'arishaim, the nations of the world and the wicked, she'inam mitpalim min ha'kedusha v'asimcha shel Shabbat Tov yamim tovim. They are not going to be inspired by a Shabbos and a Yontif. Many of them are not even allowed to celebrate Shabbos and Yontif. So he says, Harei im bechol zot mirachamim alehem v'akshim la'oram li'tshuva. If Hashem really wants to have mercy on them and inspire them to engage in a tshuva process, to really introspect, to make themselves better. So then how is he going to do it? So min ha'echreach shitorut zo tavo al yedei nigaim yisurim. So the only way to inspire them, unfortunately, is to beat them up, is to give them difficulties, is to give them challenges, is to give them suffering. That's how it works. The umot alam, they're not inspired by kedusha, so they need to be inspired through suffering. That's the straps up on the wall. That's the tzarat. That's the only way we can inspire them, is in through the manner of suffering, of difficulties and challenges. Aval b'nei Yisrael. But when it comes to the Jewish people, shiritzonam hu lishmor et divrei Torah. What's their goal? They always want to keep Hashem's Torah and mitzvot. They want to be close to Hashem. Vehim smichim umit angim mikdushat shamarim oed. And they can enjoy, they can delight in a Shabbos and a Yom Tov. So mikavlim et hahit orerud hazot bederech shel chesed yava. So then Hashem doesn't have to inspire them with nigaim, with challenges, with difficulties, with suffering, God forbid. Rather, how can he inspire them? Through chesed and ahava, through kindness and through love. Al yedei le'echol v'lishtot v'lismoach. He can allow them to become inspired, to connect to him, to commit themselves to a better service of Hashem, better avodat Hashem, more Torah, more tefillah, more chesed, all those different things, through their eating and through their drinking and through their rejoicing on Yom Tov, v'lo al yedei yisurim u'machuvim. And they don't have to do it. They don't have to become inspired through difficulties and challenges and suffering. Meaning what? There are two different paths for the Jewish people. If you want to get close to Hashem, Hashem can do it in the nice way. Through a Shabbos, through a Yom Tov, through a potato kugel, through a cholent, through a matzah ball, whatever it is, right? You can have that type of inspiration. But if lo aleinu, we are not going to get inspired in that way, so then who knows? Maybe he will have to fall back on the methods through which he uses to inspire the umot ha'olam, the nations of the world, the straps up on the wall, the tzara'at, the challenges, the suffering, the difficulties, and we don't want that. It's so important for us to realize, says Rabbi Alexander Zusha Friedman, that we have the option, we Jewish people, we have the ability to become closer to Hashem by having those divine encounters, which hopefully we are having on a Shabbos and a Yom Tov. And if we could do that, if we can commit ourselves each week, I'm going to be a little bit better this week. I'm going to fix that mistake. You know, this week I fell short in that area. I'm not going to allow it to happen again. Or each Yom Tov, we're going to take upon more. We're going to daven a little bit with more kavanah. We're going to do more chesed. We're going to give more tzedakah, whatever it is. If we can inspire ourselves in that way, and we're constantly growing, constantly elevating, constantly remembering that Hashem oversees the world and trying as best we can to become closer to Him. If we could do it that way, so then it's going to be an inspiration of chesed. It's going to be an inspiration of Ahava. But if lo aleinu, we don't use Shabbos in that way, if we don't do Yom Tov in that way, right? For us, this is a day off of work. I get to sleep a little bit more. I get to eat a little bit more. I get to drink a little bit more. I get to hang out with friends. Again, which are all wonderful elements of the day, but they have to be properly focused. If we don't use Shabbat and Yom Tov as ways to inspire ourselves, then God forbid, Hashem may instead decide to inspire us in different ways. We have to recognize that we have these two different options in front of us, and the question is, which one are we going to take? It feels like for a long time now, we've been feeling the inspiration of the umot ha'olam, the inspiration of suffering, the inspiration of difficulty, the inspiration of challenge. Lo aleinu, we know that the attacks, the atrocities on October 7th took place on Shmini Atzeret, on a Yom Tov, on a day that is supposed to be a day of celebrating and getting close to Hashem and inspiring ourselves. And unfortunately, we were beat up on that day. We were challenged on that day. We suffered on that day, and we have unfortunately suffered since then. And we as a Jewish people, we need to decide which path are we going to take. Hashem gives us both options. We could decide to inspire ourselves through these different encounters with Kedusha, like on a Shabbos and a Yom Tov. But obviously there are different methods through which we could have that type of experience, through Torah learning, through tefillah, through chesed, through tzedakah, right? But Shabbos and Yom Tov is certainly a model. But if we don't do it in that way, then God forbid, how else is Hashem going to inspire us to engage in the tshuva process? So let's make sure we take this lesson to heart. And we recognize that it's in our it's our decision how we are going to be inspired. Let's take a Shabbos. Let's take a Yom Tov. We know that Pesach is coming up very, very soon. We know that we have Shabbos every single week. We have the opportunity to get closer to Hashem, to focus on who we are and who we want to be, what we need to fix, where our shortcomings are. And if we do that, if we take that opportunity, if we take that challenge to look inward and to recognize Hashem oversees the world and I need to get better, I need to connect to Him in a better way, in a more thorough way, then Hashem will not have to inspire in any other way. Let's make sure we do that. It's so much easier to be inspired by eating and drinking and making merry, by spending time with family, spending time with friends, having a meaningful Seder. It's so much better to be inspired that way than, God forbid, the opposite. Let's make sure that all those weapons up on the wall, that those are miuchad, those are specifically designated for the umot ha'olam and not for us. We instead choose the inspiration of chesed and hava. We instead choose the inspiration of Shabbat and Yom Tov. Good Shabbos.